Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the first reading taken from the second chapter of Acts, where again we hear, beginning at verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? This is God's word. Occasionally, someone will ask me, how do pastors come up with things to preach about? I love that question because I sometimes wonder the same thing. Seriously, one of the ways we are trained as Lutheran pastors is to look for two things in every biblical text. The two things being law and gospel. Now I'm about to get very technical, okay? Hang on. When I say law, I mean things that make you go, oops. And then, ugh. When God's standards make you go, oops, and ugh, the law has done its work. And when I say gospel, I mean things that make you go, all right, yes, thank you, Lord. The gospel is news, news of something God has done for you. It's news of a victory. So it is that we find very discernible, very obvious law and gospel in today's reading from Acts chapter 2. These first readings from Acts during the Easter season are kind of strange in a way. Now, first of all, we're used to Old Testament readings being there. But what I really mean is that it's like the church here can't wait for Pentecost. It wants to take us there right away, mostly because it means to show us the huge difference that Jesus' resurrection made in the lives of his disciples. Having been taught by the risen Christ and emboldened by the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches an incredibly detailed sermon that results in thousands of people receiving Christian baptism. And at the heart of that sermon is a law and gospel dynamic. Again, in this passage, we find Peter preaching a brilliant sermon to people, mostly of Jewish origin, who either lived in Jerusalem to begin with or had traveled there for the festival of Pentecost, which was kind of like a Thanksgiving service. But this service has taken a wild turn. Peter stood up and was building a case for Jesus being the promised one, the one to whom all of Old Testament scripture had pointed, and then comes the law. In verse 36, he says, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Oops. And ugh. What an extraordinarily bold thing to say. And what's equally extraordinary is the response in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? There it is, the law has done its work. The oops and the ugh have taken place. And as a group, Peter's listeners were not offended by what they heard. They were grieved. They were cut to the heart. Now, some of the people Peter preached to that day may have had some direct involvement with Jesus' crucifixion. That's entirely possible. But the majority probably didn't have much to do with it from a practical standpoint at all. They may not have even been in Jerusalem when it happened. And still, they were cut to the heart by this message and grieved over what Peter was telling them. They wanted to know, what should we do? What is there to do to get out from under this burden? Ugh! It's painful to even think about. The Holy Spirit accompanying Peter's every word drove the point home, creating a serious oops and ugh. And the crowd cried out for the tension to be resolved. How about you? What do you do with Peter's words today? God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Not the Jewish travelers to Jerusalem this time. This Jesus whom you crucified. Oh, of course, I know the objections. You weren't there when it happened. You didn't shout, crucify him, or drive the nails into Jesus' body. This event happened thousands of years ago, after all. And yet, if I haven't been moved to grieve over Jesus' death, and not just Jesus' death, but my role in Jesus' death, if that has not cut me to the heart, then respectfully, I don't yet understand the central message of the Bible. If you're not sure what I mean, here's a little test. When you think about the death of Jesus on the cross, is your reaction, oh, that's terrible what they did to him? Or is it, that's terrible what I did to him? Do you feel the oops and the ugh of the law? Because the message of Peter and the message of the Bible is, I am responsible. I am part of this. I am part of the you. This Jesus whom you crucified. And yes, sure, I didn't lift the hammer to drive the nails on Golgotha, not physically, but my sin debt caused it. The cumulative sin debt made Jesus' death a necessity, all of our sin, and so God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. He went to the cross to settle things for you and me, knowing that our shame, our pride, our self-centeredness, our worship of other things besides God sent Jesus to the cross. There is a new urgency to ask, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter tells us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right. Yes. Thank you, Lord. There's the gospel. Peter says, repent, meaning turn around, have a change of mind, return to the Lord. Stop trying to be the God of your own life. Own the fact that you're not in charge. Let go of the idea that you've got to be good to get God to bless you. Instead, receive this truly good news. Jesus voluntarily went to the cross to wipe out our debt and to make this exchange his life for yours. Jesus died your death. Jesus was raised to new life. All right. In baptism, your old self, the sinner, was drowned and was buried. A new self connected to Christ's risen life takes over. Yes! Forgiveness of sins is yours. Thank you, Lord. The gift of the Holy Spirit is yours. And the Holy Spirit clears the way for this message to hit home. With the law, he cuts right to your heart, causing you to ask, what should we do? And with the gospel, he presents the eternal solution. Repent and receive Jesus. All right. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through the pattern of law and gospel embedded in your word, lead us to draw on the blessings of baptism, believing that Jesus has granted us forgiveness of sins and new life in connection with him. Continually lead us to find our worth and value in Jesus our Lord. Transform us into Christ-like servants who greet your gifts with thanks. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.